Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is I, Andrew Devitre, the mistress of pop culture, here to deliver, stand and deliver, that iconic, No Doubt song, of course. I forced out our stories for you guys today, but before I get into our stories, I'm really, really freaking out because today's Wednesday, which means it's Beverly Hills Housewives Reunion Part 2, which is really, really exciting, and I think, you know, all eyes on the girls, especially Erica Jayne, but Tuesday, I was getting my nails done in LA, somewhere where I frequent every day. I'm not going to say where because I don't want to like blow up her spot or anything. But I was, after I got my nails done, I walked across the street and went to Starbucks. And I heard and I say this with, you know, all due respect, I heard a nasally voice that was very familiar. And I was like, and I was looking at my phone, I was standing outside because, you know, because of COVID, you have to wait outside. You know, not too many people could be in a Starbucks at once. I heard a nasally voice. I was like, that voice is very familiar. That sounds just like, and I turned up to the right and looked, and lo and behold, it was Erica Jayne, Erica Girardi, walking by, you guys. Oh, and of course, by the way, I freaked out, and I sent a text to all my girlfriends who are Housewives fanatics, but they're all on the East Coast. She was walking by. She was with her assistant, I believe, or a girl. She's short. She's definitely shorter than I thought, but I'm 5'10", so, I mean, she's not, I guess, short, but she's shorter than I am. She was carrying that famous yellow wallet that we see in a lot of the paparazzi photos. Full glam, full makeup. She was, and I am not just saying this, she was so stunningly beautiful. I just couldn't believe it. We locked eyes. Like, Erica Girardi's, look at me, oh my God! And her hair was blown out. She looked really good. She was in sweats. And she was shopping. And I'm not gonna say where I was again, but it's a place that, it's a pretty nice area. I mean, it's not Beverly Hills, I'll say that. But it's an area that I go every day to get coffee, you know, sometimes lunch. And it was amazing. And I was speechless because I obviously Erica is in hot water, you know, given everything that's going on in the Housewives this season, particularly, specifically with Tom. But it was just, there was something about seeing her out doing normal human things, you know? She is a normal human being who's just living her best life. But she was so pretty, you guys. And I do have to say this. I know there's that photo going around of her with the teary face, you know, from the reunion at the end of the preview. Erica did not look like that in person. And she didn't have sunglasses on, by the way. She was wearing makeup, and I knew it was her. Her face was snatched. She looked really, really good. She was, I mean, all the paparazzi shots I see, she's going to the gym. So she just looked really great. And it was really cool to see her. And I wanted to ask her a photo, but I was afraid, you know, because you, like, you see someone like that and you're caught off guard. You're like, it's jarring. It's you know, I was kind of starstruck. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, really cool. Made my Tuesday. And what else made my Tuesday is I got the iPhone 13 Pro Max. It's a really great phone. It's so fast, you guys. And Apple doesn't sponsor me, but, you know, I'm open to being, you know, sponsored by anyone, specifically Apple. But anyways, I got the phone. I was really excited to get it. I got the black one. It's very chic. Very fast phone, though, and I love it. And shout out to the Apple Store at the Beverly Center. They're always so kind. And, you know, I a lot of people say that that's their favorite Apple Store. It's on the Beverly Center. I'm on La Cienega, so yeah. But aside from that, that's pretty much all I have to update you on in terms of life updates. So let's just get into our stories because there's four really good ones today. So here's our first story of the day from E! News. Now, this is a podcast, obviously, so it's all audio. But Nicole Kidman. Seen Nicole Kidman transform into Lucille Ball in first Being the Ricardo Caesar. Okay, so the teaser trailer dropped for Nicole Kidman's new film with Amazon, with Javier Bardem. And she looks, I mean, it's uncanny how amazing she looks in terms of her resemblance to Lucille Ball. Iconic Lucille Ball. But the teaser trailer dropped, and it's something amazing. Okay, time to break out the wine glasses. Nicole Kidman is officially squashing grapes as the legendary Lucille Ball in the teaser for Being the Ricardos. The upcoming biopic, set for release in December, which I will definitely be watching and I will recap on this podcast, will pull back the curtain on Lucille's private life, which proved to be quite layered since she and her co-star Desi Arnaz were famously a couple both on and off screen. The two eloped in November 1940, starred in I Love Lucy together from 1951 to 1957, and subsequently divorced in 1960. Quote, I am the biggest asset in the portfolio of the Columbia Broadcasting System, Nicole, as Lucille says in a voiceover in the slow winding teaser. Ooh, excuse me. Continuing quote, the biggest asset in the portfolio of Philip Morris Tobacco, Westinghouse. I get paid a fortune to do exactly what I love doing. I work side by side with my husband, who is genuinely impressed by me. And all I have to do to keep it all is kill it for 36 weeks in a row and then do it again next year. referring to their incredibly successful sitcom, she continues, quote, you know, I did the show so Desi and I could be together. I had no idea it was going to be a hit. And at that exact moment, viewers finally get their first actual peek at Nicole's jaw-dropping transformation as the comedic star. It's the grape scene, and she really does look just like Lucille. I mean, obviously not identical, because there is only one Lucille Ball, but, I mean, this is pretty damn good. The film will follow Lucille and Desi during a whirlwind week of filming I Love Lucy, with the story unfolding during a Monday table read until it wraps up with a Friday TV shoot in front of a live audience. However, the drama will also feature snippets of life offset for the famous couple, with the synopsis for the movie reading in part, quote, the film takes audiences into the writer's room, onto the soundstage, and behind closed doors with Ball and Arnaz during one critical production week of the groundbreaking sitcom. Lucille and Desi's daughter, Lucy Arnaz, praised Oscar winner Nicole for her portrayal for her mom earlier this year, adding that she managed to capture the, quote, basic essence of the television star. Nicole did a spectacular job, Lucy told Palm Springs Life magazine in August. Quote, the 2 days that I watched through were both little flashbacks, so she was playing Lucy in the late 30s and mid-40s. She wasn't Lucy of Lucy Ricardo fame yet, so it was a trifle different. And I know she meant to be, so it could feel different. But boy, what she did was astounding. She's got such poise in class. I mean, I know there's a lot of jokes and whatnot about Nicole Kidman because, you know, she literally is playing, like, every single role in the world. But Nicole Kidman deserves to. She's so spectacularly talented. I mean, my personal favorite Nicole Kidman project of all time is, aside from Big Little Lies, in which she was incredible, as I'm sure you know, too, is, of course, Moulin Rouge when she played Satine. Sparkling Diamond. Iconic movie. One of my favorites in middle school. Haven't seen it in quite some time. I know it's on HBO Max, but, you know, I gotta stop watching some stuff after a while so I can, like, feel fresh after I watch it again. But I'm very much looking forward to this film because I love Lucy so much, particularly the grape stomping episode, which is famously depicted or reenacted in Family Guy. Well, it's not really I Love Lucy, but it kind of reminds, you know, that it's not funny, but that news sketch from years ago where the lady was stomping grapes and then she, like, falls out of the bucket and goes, oh, ow. And then, of course, Stewie does it on Family Guy. If you know, you know. But anyways, I'm very much looking forward to this film. It's going to be fabulous. Amazon is just crushing it in terms of content. And yeah, I'm sure Nicole Kidman will be, you know, nominated for an Academy Award at least. So yeah, exciting. Now, second story of the day. This is from Page Six. I have not talked about this woman in a long time, but weirdly, she, like, ran through my brain the other day because, well, you know what? I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, so I'm not going to say why, but she did. Kelly Ben Simone claims she made Bethany Frankel feel, quote, insecure. Okay, we all know about the Bethany, Kelly, Ben, Simone, Scary Island saga on Housewives of New York years and years ago. Go to sleep. You know, the whole thing when Kelly was, like, on one. But I guess Kelly Simone is... Spell Simone. Ben Simone is spilling the tea. Kelly Ben Simone is not going to sleep on her nemesis. While talking to author Dave Quinn for his explosive Housewives Tell All book, Not All Diamonds and Rosé. By the way, I really want to read this because I saw Andy Cohen posted a photo of this. No, not Andy Cohen, Lisa Brenna. Ben Simone alleged that Bethany Frankel felt threatened by her when she joined season 2 of The Real Housewives of New York City in 2008. I'm banking that Bethany Frankel did not, but that's okay. Quote, remember, she was getting, oh wait, sorry. Bethany was just looking for attention. She was so insecure, Ben Simone, 53, said per People. Quote, remember, she was the old guard and I was the new pretty fun girl. She didn't have kids. I was a mom with kids. She was struggling with her career. I was accomplished. Okay. Sorry, I'm just, like, literally laughing at Kelly because she's a nut job. No offense. Alleged. The real estate agent added, quote, there were just so many things about me that, and I don't like to use the word threatened because I don't like it when women talk about each other in those kinds of terms, but she felt a certain way about me that I somehow became her nemesis immediately. And then the article goes on to provide a photo of Countess Luann, Bethany, Kelly Ben Simone, and then, of course, Lisa Rinna, looking fabulous. Ben Simone and Frankel 50 had a notoriously tumultuous relationship on the show. As many fans may recall, Frankel at one point called Ben Simone Madonna under her breath, while Ben Simone claimed Frankel was, quote, trying to kill me. Oh, yeah. That was really dark. Remember that dinner when Bethany was, you know, made a lovely dinner for the girls? Because, of course, Kelly Ben Simone was like, you're not a chef, you're a cook, which is, like, just beyond so disrespectful. But then Kelly was, like, you know, eating gummy bears and, like, running around going, whoa. You know what I'm talking about. Real, real OG Housewives fans know exactly what I'm talking about. But then she was like, Bethany, I'm scared of you. I think you're trying to kill me. And then Bethany was like, well, go to sleep. But then, of course, she made that face. It was not good. And I think that was her last season. In the book, however, Ben Simone alleged that their friendship was doomed from the start, even before she joined Rahoni. Quote, Bethany I met before the show because she came to an event at my house. Bethany was dating a photographer I knew. Oh my God, enough of the photographer. Literally, Kelly cannot let go of this story. real OG fans know you don't care about this, and I'm really, really sorry, but I have to talk about it because it's, like, literally blood to me, this OG stuff. Bethany was dating a photographer I knew, and she was his date. Ben Simone told Quinn, quote, I didn't even really notice her. She didn't make an impression on me, bad or good. And I don't mean that in a nasty way. I mean that in a genuinely honest way. Frankel declined to be interviewed for the book, but Jill Zarin, her ex-BFF and Rahoni alum, claimed that she felt, quote, snubbed by Ben Simone at the party. Bethany hated Kelly even before the show because she felt that Kelly snubbed her at the party, Zarin 57 recalled. Then she got even more upset when they met again on the show and Kelly had no idea who she was. Zarin added, quote, she didn't recall Bethany being at her house, but Bethany was very offended and treated Kelly very badly because of it. Ben Simone and Zarin have remained friends over the years, but it appears none of them have kept in touch with Frankel. Well, obviously, because Jill wronged Bethany in so many ways, and Kelly Ben Simone is just like an awful person for saying all those horrible things about Bethany. Then, of course, as we all know, as history notes, Bethany became a global success. She went to sell on Skinny Girl for $100 million. She has had a fabulous talk show. She went back to Housewives and killed it. And now she's just living her best life. So leave Bethany alone. I'm like happy that she declined to be interviewed. She's one of those people that like, she just wants to move on from the Housewives franchise. She knows where she came from, of course. But at some point, you gotta move on from it. But I'm very much looking forward to reading this book because if Lisa Rinna's in it, I want to read about it. And also Kelly Ben Simone, whatever her name is, she has to have several seats because she's just like clamoring on this thirst and I'm not here for it. Okay. This is to our third story of the day. Somebody who I absolutely adore, a darling, if you will. Alicia Silverstone tells Drew Barrymore she got, quote, banned from the same dating app twice. This is from People Magazine. I love Drew Barrymore's talk show, and Alicia Silverstone is always going to be Cher Horowitz in my heart. But she shit and chatted. Alicia Silverstone is opening up about her previous luck on dating apps. Two mixed results. The actress appeared on the Drew Barrymore show, where she told host and friend Drew Barrymore and dating coach Donna Hoffman that she'd been banned from a dating app twice. Quote, a few years ago, I tried to get on one of those dating apps and I put a fake profile because I wasn't comfortable yet being me, Silverstone said. And then I got kicked off. I got banned. Silverstone didn't let that stop her. I tried again, she said. Quote, I got the courage up because I heard that you were on and I heard that Sharon Stone was on. I wonder if it's Raya. Oh, it is Raya. It's totally Raya. Well, if they can be on, so can I. Silverstone told Barrymore. So I went on as myself and it took a lot of courage to do it. And then I did it and I had a date with someone planned. And the day I went in to find out about the date where we were meeting or whatever, I had been banned. Poor guy. I got kicked off as myself too. I wonder what happened was. In September, Silverstone joined Bumble. Oh, it was Bumble. Sorry, it wasn't Raya. My mistake. In September, Silverstone joined Bumble and told People the new venture gave her a new renewed, quote, hope for dating. I just think it's a great way for people to meet, she said at the time. You know, I think it's really nice that we have friends that we can connect us. You can be set up by friends. You can be at a party and tell people, hey, do you know anyone? You can do things like that. I have experience where I'll go to an in-person event and no one's really engaged. They're sort of on their phones and it's a bit discouraging. She added, quote, it can be like, how are you supposed to meet anyone in the real world? You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes people are, and sometimes you do meet people out in the real world, and I certainly have, and it's just been wonderful. But I think it's just a really nice way for people to meet. You know, I really love that Alicia Silverstone is out and about, you know, the dating market, as she should be. She's a beautiful gal, and she has a great personality. And also, I love that she's very open and candid about her, you know, dating struggles. I don't want to say struggles, but, you know, that she's looking for a connection. And I will have to say, I do have to say, dating in LA is very hard. People are, like, not engaged. Everybody's self-absorbed, at least in, like, you know, the gay world. Everyone's like a snob. It's like, who do you think you are? Countess Luann? I don't think so. But I do wish I don't know why I can't say her name. Alicia Silverstone, a lot of luck in dating. Her and her son Bear's Instagrams are so wonderful. Her cooking videos are great. I love her vegan stuff. And I love that she's chatting and chatting with, you know, the queen of daytime talk, Drew Barrymore. Well, Kelly Clarkson too. Speaking of daytime talk, Wendy Williams is, I guess, supposed to be coming back in November, and she has a slew of fabulous people stepping in for her. Whitney Cummings, Sherry Shepherd. Love it. Love to see it. And I hope Wendy is recovering well with Graves' disease and everything she's going through, because I miss our daytime queen. And, you know, there could be more than one daytime queen. So, yeah. And this brings us to our fourth and final story of the day. TMZ. This, like, broke my heart when I read this. This is from TMZ. And I literally just said that, so sorry about that. I'm on one today. Celine Dion, I'm delaying my new Vegas show. Body's letting me down. I really want to go see Celine. I love her so much. I mean, those pipes are just everything more. Celine Dion says she's putting her upcoming shows in Sin City on ice. And she says it's because medical issues are preventing her from being able to perform. The My Heart Will Go On singer says she's experiencing severe and persistent muscle spasms and hasn't been able to rehearse So she's delaying her November 5th opening. Celine says she's heartbroken and saddened beyond words for letting down her fans, and she feels especially bad because folks have been working hard to get the new venue at Resorts World Las Vegas ready for her. Instead, Celine says she's targeting a January 15 debut with shows running through February 5th, as long as her body holds up. Sounds like Celine is confident she can get over this hurdle because she says her Courage World Tour is still moving forward in March as scheduled. Bottom line for Celine, she says she's focusing on getting better because, quote, I want to get through this thing as soon as I can. I mean, she's the queen of the world, so she literally has to listen to her body and, you know, take care of herself, because I think everybody just wants our queen to be back on stage. I love, my personal favorite Celine song is, I mean, I love My Heart Won't Go On, but of course Alone. And then, what's that song that Lea Michele sang in Glee? Baby, it was all, oh, it's all coming back to me now. Iconic song. The music video too is so dramatic. I like literally love it. Celine defined the 90s to me. And her Mariah, Bette Midler, Whitney, just their pipes are just too much for my ears. I can't even handle it. Like, of course I can. I mean that as like, oh my gosh, I need more of it. But I wish Mariah, I do wish Celine a speedy recovery, and I hope she gets back on stage because the world needs Celine, and I don't think we can, you know, be a happy place. I don't think Las Vegas can exist without her. We need Celine in Las Vegas. We need Cher in Las Vegas. We need Kelly there. Everyone, and especially Deborah Vance, of course, from Hacks on HBO Max. Now, of course, Deborah Vance is a fictional character, but we'd love if she was real. And I can't wait for season 2 of that show, so yeah. But anyways, that is our Wednesday episode. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in. I'm Andrew Devitri, the Mistress of Pop Culture, here to bring you all things pop culture-based. You can stream my podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, CastBox Radio, iTunes, the podcast app on the iPhone, or basically whatever device you use. Have a fabulous hump day. And I'll be back with you guys Thursday with any other, you know, juicy stories that come up. So, with that being said, I'll chit and chat with you guys later. yeah, bye.